This is YPR News. I'm Bree Ripley. Montana Fair, the state's largest, starts tomorrow in Billings. A lot of attention is on ride safety since the tragedy last month in Ohio. YPR's Kay Erickson looks at who is responsible for ride safety.
Thomas Carnival has been a mainstay at the fair in Billings for over 30 years. John Hanchin is president of Thomas Carnival, a business that's been in his wife's family since 1928. He says the carnival's insurance coverage and an international industry oversight group requires ride inspections.
They're required to be written and kept track of. Those requirements are set by both ASTM and insurance requirements. They require a written record of the final inspections at the start of the week and then daily after that.
That impresses Montana Fair manager Bill Dutcher. He has a 20-year relationship with Thomas Carnival. He knows Thomas Carnival uses their brief off-season to get their people certified to inspect rides.
Now, that means a lot to me to know that they spend their own time and their own dime to look out for those things since Montana's one of the states.
He wants the public to know his staff trains for and plans for Montana Fair throughout much of the year so the public can have a safe and fun time.
We want them to come and enjoy themselves knowing that every precaution has been planned for and taken care of in advance. And we're very proud of that fact.
Montana Fair opens Friday and runs through Saturday night, August 19th. Kay Erickson, YPR News.
Officials in Sheridan have found a buyer for six city-owned bison, which are being sold because the city says the herd has grown too large. Hunting outfitter and local rancher Brant Hillman was the lone bidder for the bison that have been kept in a pasture above Kendrick Park. Hillman currently owns about 50, most of which are raised for slaughter. He will pay a total of $4,250 to the city for the six bison. He plans to keep some of the animals and send others to market. The city has three bison left in its herd. An elite 29-year-old firefighter who died in Montana last week was remembered today for his infectious sense of humor, his love of the outdoors, and even the joy he took from a good round of the Call of Duty video game series. But nearly everyone who spoke at Brent Witham's public memorial service in San Bernardino, California, also mentioned his unrelenting work ethic. Here, Forest Service Commander Rita Wares reads a portion of Witham's eulogy that was written by his uncle.
His goal was to be a superintendent of Vista Grande one day. Remember that he loved both his biological family and his firefighting family, and he loved the Forest Service. Brent died doing what he loved, fighting fires.
Brent Witham was a member of the respected California-based Vista Grande Hotshot crew. He was killed August 2nd from a falling tree while fighting the Lolo Peak fire. This is YPR News.
From the YPR studios in Billings, I'm Jackie Yamanaka. Secretary of the Interior Ryan Zinke will decide whether to shrink or eliminate 22 national monuments later this month. As Yellowstone Public Radio's Bree Ripley reports, these monuments are significant moneymakers for business owners across the West, who met in Helena and Great Falls Wednesday to discuss their concerns.
In Montana, outdoor recreation generates nearly $6 billion in consumer spending annually and supports over 60,000 jobs. Outdoor recreation is a vital revenue generator for other states represented by the Western Businesses for National Monuments Group, which met Wednesday to advocate for keeping national monuments in their home states as they are. The group includes restaurant and brewery owners, outdoor gear manufacturers, expedition guides, and representatives from local chambers of commerce, who said they would lose money by the loss or scaling back of nearby monuments. Chris Mell is the policy director of Bozeman-based Headwaters Economics. The nonpartisan research organization published three studies, the most recent in June, on the economic performance of local communities adjacent to 17 national monuments in the West.
In all 17 cases, the performance of the communities surrounding the national monument improved. Jobs went up. Per capita income, which is a great way to measure prosperity in a community, how much money is coming in per person, went up in every single case that we studied, for example.
National monuments became a fixture in the debate on public land management when President Trump ordered a review of any national monument designated since 1996 that's bigger than 100,000 acres. Officials in the oil and gas industry, along with many elected officials like President Trump, have criticized that national monument designations shortchange natural resource developers. But the Headwaters economics research shows that national monuments support recreational economies crucial to rural business owners and overall revenues for states across the West.
No way could you say that monuments were hurting the community. I can't say that monuments are causation, you know, that if you create a monument, your community will automatically do better. But we did find that in every case that we studied that they did, in a sense, continue what they were doing before. They either grew or grew faster than before the creation of the monument.
Zinke has already announced he would make no changes to two monuments, including Montana's Upper Missouri River Breaks, but he is expected to determine the fate of 22 national monuments, and thereby 22 surrounding business economies, by the end of this month. Bree Ripley, YPR News.